Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, friend, and welcome to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I am so excited for this episode where we're going to talk about what it means to get unstuck. A couple of quick church announcements. First, make sure that you take the spiritual wellness check-in, find out where you are, get access to the resources that you need. I've been getting a lot of phenomenal feedback for the resources. They have been really beneficial in practical tools and helping people really push forward in the next cycle, the next phase of their life. Next, make sure you join us over in the Purpose Collective, where we are communing, okay, for free, all of the listeners of the podcast, where you'll get access to all the resources, tips, tools, and things like that that are mentioned. I also drop some extra content there throughout the week to really engage with you all. And then you guys can still ask me questions and I can provide feedback via audio notes, which is super, super dope. Finally, shout out to all of my clinicians who checked out this bonus episode. I owe y'all a resource. It is the last 2 weeks of school. It's the last 2 weeks, friend. Pray for me. And I promise y'all, I'm going to get your clinician's toolkit out. I want to make sure that it is something that is done in excellence, not perfection, but in excellence. And so in order for me to do that, I need to make sure that I'm caught up and about to take finals. Keep me on y'all's prayer list. Final exam next week. And then your girl is done. I'm not even going to graduation. I'm trying to be on the beach. Okay. I'm a walk in my, regalia. I'm a put it on and I'm a walk across the beach with it on. That's what I'm doing. Cause I'm tired. So let's hop into the meat of today's episode. I have had a lot of conversation recently with people who feel stuck is the best way to really put it. They are able to understand that there is a change that needs to happen. There's clarity that has happened. A lot of these people are very high functioning, self-aware women, right? Where we believe the problem is confusion. But when we get to the nitty gritty of it, when I talk to these ladies, they understand what needs to be done. They just have to do it. And a lot of us, if we're honest, we know what needs to be done. We just don't know what to do next. We already have clarity. We've been given answers from God because we've been prayed, fasted, journaled, talked it through with a therapist, talked it through with our wise counsel. We have done all of the things. We've got a word from the prophet, but we still have not made the necessary move. You still haven't said what needs to be said. You still have not done the action that you know is necessary. You are still dancing around a decision, but you're not making it and standing 10 toes down in it. And instead of us calling it what it is, which is avoidance, say it with me, class, avoidance. We oftentimes have been trained in church culture to dress it up in spiritual language. God hasn't released me. I'm waiting for peace. The gag is that we don't talk about enough that peace does not always immediately follow obedience. Moses went and talked to Pharaoh, but how long was it before they had peace? Okay. Okay, friend. Or I'm trying to be wise. And there's one thing to use wisdom and be strategic, but a lot of us use that as a way to avoid having to deal with the situation. Deep down inside, you already know, friend, that you are not waiting on God. you're trying to delay the cost that comes with being in alignment. There's a cost and a confrontation that comes when God gives us clarity. And a lot of people are not talking about that. There's an emotional cost that is attached to when God gives you clarity on something, especially if the outcome is not what you were praying for. There's grief that happens. And we don't take enough time to address that. But in this episode, that's what we're doing. We are going to be naming the pattern for what it is. I'm going to teach you how to interrupt that pattern. We're going to talk about that internal resistance that happens after you get clarity and how it hides behind the guise of being responsible or being spiritually mature, and the real reason that you are struggling to overcome it. Then we're going to talk about one of the three ways for you to really experience a shift, how to get unstuck. And then I'm going to give you some practical strategies. So friend, grab your notebook and your edges, okay? Because Holy Spirit is pulling up on us today. When I was studying this, I said, ooh, go ahead and read me. Go, glory gather me together today. Glory gather me, God. Gather me up and eat me up in Jesus' name. Now, y'all know I'm going to start with a definition because I love to teach. I want us to really be able to understand what it means to be stuck. So according to Merriam and them over at Merriam-Webster, there are three definitions of what it means to be stuck. To be unable to progress, move, or advance. To be fixed in a particular position and unable to change. And to be trapped in a situation or state of mind that is difficult to escape from. We want ourselves often to get unstuck, but we don't really take the time to identify what it really means. And this is why it's so important for us to do these definitions, because you are aware, you have clarity, you're aware, but you're still unable to take action. So we need to ask ourselves, like, why is it hard for me to move? What is it about my situation that I have fixed myself here? Because we have the ability to change. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. So now we have to ask ourselves, what about this situation? What about this position, this place, this person? Is it to where I have affixed myself here? And then am I dealing with a situation or a state of mind that is difficult to escape from? Once you understand what being stuck is, we can deal with that internal conflict. You are aware, you have clarity, and you're still feeling stuck. You're in a position that you don't want to stay in, but you're not really sure how to shift out of it. And that's because when you feel stuck, it's usually driven by an internal conflict. Your brain has already registered that moving forward is going to cost you something. Everything has a cost. That's biblical. Jesus talks about counting the cost. So it's going to cost you to stay and it's going to cost you to move. And some of you who are listening to this episode, you need to even on a piece of paper, get a piece of paper, line down the middle. What is costing you to stay where you are? And what is it costing you to move forward? And evaluate the return on investment for both. The investment of your time, your energy, your purpose. If you find on that other side of the paper, part of the cost of you being fixed is disobedience to God, friend, it ain't worth it. It's not worth it, girl. It's not worth it. But your brain wants you to be safe based on its perception. And so it already has picked up on the fact that, like, oh, no, that's going to cost me something. Obedience has a cost. The cost could be approval. The cost could be predictability. The cost is often control, relational safety. You're in a role or an identity that's become part of your worth. Or you just simply want to be comfortable. And we talked about the dangers of familiarity last week. When your brain thinks that a change could threaten your emotional safety, it often activates a freeze response. So our brain has three or four modes: fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. A lot of times when your brain's like, child, don't do that, you freeze. And it's not about you being lazy. It's about your nervous system doing its job to keep you, quote unquote, safe by maintaining the status quo. But your brain and those regulatory systems do not recognize that this is not good for us. The threat isn't danger. The threat is a disruption. And it's a disruption to who you've been. It's a disruption of what people expect from you. It's a disruption of how you've survived previously. And that's the part that your brain does not like. Remember, I told you that you can renew your mind. You have to. You have to do the work so there's neuroplasticity, so that way your mind can make new connections. But until then, it's going to try to maintain the status quo because that's what it was made to do. So instead of moving forward, what happens is you pause, you overthink, you're ruminating or replaying conversations in your head, and you're saying that you're processing, but really you are like power cycling, like a phone or a computer that has gone bad. And no matter how many times we circle around the desert, it's still not the promised land. And if you stay there too long, even the feeling of being stuck becomes familiar. Like right now, if you're listening to this and you feel a level like, that's because right now being stuck makes you uncomfortable. But there are some people that have allowed themselves to be deceived by themselves. Self-deception is one of the hardest things to overcome, into thinking that that being stuck or that feeling, that discomfort is of the devil, right? And now they have justified staying in a familiar place because familiar starts to feel safe even when it's not. We see this in people who are dealing with domestic violence. It feels familiar, and to be on their own and to deal with the unknown of breaking away from this person. Oftentimes, it's these women's brains thinking that they're keeping themselves safe. We say this even very frequently, even with something as simple as changing jobs. I'd rather deal with the devil I know than the devil I don't. No, the devil is a lie. No, ma'am. The devil is a liar. And that's why it's so important, because you feel stuck. But what's actually happening is that you are avoiding. And this is where we have to stop calling things confusion, because you don't need more clarity. You're not waiting on peace. You aren't fatigued. We are just avoiding. Avoidance is a psychological defense mechanism that our brain uses. It is our brain's way of trying to protect us to get away from or to avoid, quote unquote, for what it perceives as a threat. That threat can be emotional. That threat can be relational. That threat could be spiritual. And it often shows up when actions feel risky and when clarity costs more than what you are ready and willing to pay. And so we use that same language. I'm just trying to use wisdom. God hasn't released me. I'm giving it time. I'm not rushing. I want to be responsible. I need to make sure I have peace. And on the surface, that sounds like great. Like it sounds like you're being very strategic, but underneath, you're delaying what you already know. You're holding the truth in one hand and then trying to talk yourself out of it in the other. And a lot of times, the issue is that avoidance, especially in us who are high functioning, self-aware women, it looks like maturity. It looks like discernment. It looks like strategy. But spiritually, it's us being disobedient. It's us walking in misalignment, and we have somehow dressed it up in wisdom. Avoidance lets you feel safe while also keeping you stuck. Because it protects your image, it protects your routine, it protects your relationships, but the cost is that it robs you of movement. And if you don't know how to recognize it, you'll start calling obedience impulsive. and you'll start calling delay discernment when all it is really fear. You don't need more clarity. That's not what this is about. Because a lot of us have already gotten the word and you've been sitting on it even for some years. But now we have to ask ourselves and be ready to show up and confront the resistance that shows up now that I have clarity, because clarity often requires confrontation. When you think about the story of Moses, it was very clear. There was a burning bush. Like, God was very clear in what he told Moses to do. But that clarity made Moses confront his own insecurity, made Moses have to go back and confront the mistakes that he made when he killed that man in Egypt. And that confrontation, his brain perceived it as a threat, and he literally tried to talk himself out of it with God. And a lot of us look like that. You don't need more clarity, another confirmation, or another word. We have to ask ourselves, am I ready to pay the cost of clarity? Avoidance doesn't always even look like fear. It looks like maturity. That's really what the lie is here, and where the enemy is able to exploit us. You are delaying what you already know because acting is going to require risk. It's going to require discomfort or disruption. So some of the things you might find yourself doing is rereading old journal entries, but you're not updating them. You're procrastinating on a decision. You're seeking more opinions instead of trusting the clarity that you already have. You're overcommitting to other responsibilities to avoid what's sitting with your own responsibilities. You're avoiding having a hard conversation, and you keep telling yourself that it's not time to have that conversation. And you're oftentimes finding yourself keeping your mouth shut to try to keep peace, even though it's costing you your integrity. And internally, you have no peace. Your nervous system is literally trying to keep you safe by avoiding that perceived threat, whether it's going to be a relational fallout, whether you're going to be emotionally exhausted, you're going to lose your identity, you're afraid of instability. But what is actually happening is that you are preserving the status quo. You are keeping yourself stuck in a rut. We are turning the wilderness from a 12-day journey into a 40-year death sentence ourselves. We're doing it ourselves. And a lot of times it's because we've never been taught to expect discomfort as a part of obedience. If you are never taught to expect discomfort as part of obedience, then you're going to always misinterpret every part or every piece of internal resistance as you having a check in your spirit. You're going to call it tension, or you're going to call it confusion, or you're going to say you're waiting for release. But really what you have to understand is that oftentimes discomfort is part of obedience. And then you're going to delay the very thing that God already confirmed in your life. And so when you look at avoidant behavior, it does not always look like, oh, I'm afraid. You have to make sure that you trace it back, and you have to identify, am I doing this in a way to protect myself? Am I doing this in a way to try to protect myself from what moving forward will cost me? Because avoidance is a cycle. Avoidance is a cycle. And oftentimes, unless you are ready to interrupt that cycle, you're going to find yourself feeling stuck. So the feeling I feel stuck is because I'm avoiding what I need to do to move forward, because it costs me something. And there's one of three ways that you're going to get out of this. Okay? One of three ways that we break the avoidance cycle. You're either going to have to make a decision. You're going to either have to deal with the disruption, or you're going to have to disclose what's going on to someone else. Once you know the truth, once you've seen that you are out of order or not in alignment, you're not stuck because of confusion. We're stuck because now there is resistance between what you know and what you're willing to act on and what you're willing to do. We often call this cognitive dissonance. There's a difference between what you believe, what you value, what you understand, and your behavior. It is a psychological phenomenon that happens. And you will find yourself feeling overwhelmed, feeling burnt out. All of the things that you feel now, it's because of cognitive dissonance. And the only way that you can handle that tension between what you know and what you're willing to do is that freeze response. And now we have to interrupt it. Something has to break that cycle. Most people don't shift because they feel ready. They shift because something makes not moving harder than the risk of doing something different. And I want you to avoid having to experience that. I want you to avoid some big blow up having to happen in order for you to make the proper decision for yourself. And so, like I said, the interruption comes either via a decision, a disruption, or a disclosure. And I want to look at these more closely. A decision. Decisions make things real. This is why we avoid them. When you make a decision, it costs you control. Once you decide, you can no longer hide behind ambiguity. People are going to start asking you questions. You're going to possibly disappoint people. And if you're someone who's always been the strong one, you've always been the consistent one, the wise one, making a firm decision can feel like a threat to your image. There's a real fear of consequences that you're dealing with. You are really afraid of what it's going to cost you in your relationships. You're afraid of being labeled as impulsive or disloyal or disobedient, especially if it goes against what people are telling you. But you need to do what God said. You have to make a decision. And a lot of times the language that you use is, I'm still praying on it. I don't want to be rash. I'm going to wait for confirmation. But all of those are code for, I'm scared to deal with what this decision will disrupt. Think about Abraham in Genesis 12. God told Abraham to go to the land I will show you. He got the word. He got clarity, right? That's faith. A lot of us are not walking by faith. Abraham then decided without details, without a timeline, without proof. He wasn't reckless, but he responded to what God said. And this is where a lot of us get messed up. Faith is the substance of what we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what Hebrews 11 and 1 is. But that word faith actually in the Greek is the word pistis. That means that God gives us clarity. He gives us this in-birthed persuasion. He tells you to do something and you respond. That is the totality of faith. Faith is God speaking and then you responding in an appropriate manner. And a lot of us feel uncomfortable because now we're being disobedient. That's why it's impossible to please God without faith. Not because he stopped speaking, but you have to respond to what he's saying, friend. And a lot of us have to be like Abraham. His decision did not come with peace. It came with him responding appropriately. Peace comes later. Peace comes later. And so if you are at a place where you know the decision you need to make, you're not waiting on peace, friend. You're waiting on courage. And you need to ask God to give you the courage to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You need to ask him to allow you to be strong and courageous because he is with you. And make the decision that he's called you to make. The next part or the next way that we interrupt that avoidance cycle is through disruption. We like to avoid disruption because it feels like failure, especially for us, again, very high functioning, very self-aware. A disruption is that emotional meltdown where, girl, you just let it go. You grieve. Emotional breakdowns are physical symptoms in people who are super high functioning and the ones that are keeping it together. It often seems or are seen as weakness. You're always so used to pushing through. So when your body starts to shut down or when your emotions no longer allow you to stuff them down, your instinct is for you to really suppress and power through and not pay attention. And that's because you feel shame. That's because there's a level of embarrassment. That's because there's fear of you losing control. You've always been so glorified and praised and exalted for you being composed, for you being capable, for you being resilient, and you taking the time to actually feel your grief and to feel your feelings. It does not match.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
That narrative. And so instead, you tell yourself, I'm just tired. And then you take a nap and you're still exhausted. You're still burnt out. You are trying to put a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. You keep telling yourself, oh, I'll bounce back, I'll recover. You keep telling yourself, I can't afford to fall apart right now. You can't afford not to. Because that breakdown might be the very thing that saves you. You have to go and lament to the Father. Look in the book of Psalms at how many times lamenting has allowed God to really step in and to move on behalf of the people. What's that scripture in the Old Testament that talks about if people will humble themselves, if his people who are called by his name will humble themselves, there's a level of humility and surrender that takes place when you allow yourself to feel. Because your nervous system is going to shut down before it keeps performing in this manner, before you keep pushing through cognitive dissonance. Look at Elijah in 1 Kings 19. He has this huge public victory, literally just called fire down from heaven. And then he has just the biggest meltdown, the biggest disruption. He is overwhelmed. He is emotionally spent. He is literally suicidal. He asks God to take his life. He's ready to die. This disruption is not about failure. It is a sign. It is a signal. And God doesn't respond to him by rebuking him. God provides him with rest. God provides him with nourishment. God provides him with redirection. And so we have to understand that sometimes the disruption, the lamenting, the quote unquote meltdown is not dysfunction. It's your body telling the truth that your mouth won't open up and say. And we have to be okay with submitting ourselves humbly. That means us rejecting our own self-governance. We have to be okay with allowing the Lord to see all of those parts of us. It doesn't just go away. And once you stop avoiding those emotions, you will oftentimes on the other side get that redirection, find the next thing that you need, because God will meet you there. That is the same chapter and the same space in which God met Elijah in a small, still voice. So we have to either make a decision, we have to allow the disruption, or we're going to have to disclose, meaning that we're going to have to talk to people. We're going to have to open up our mouth and really say what's going on. Because once you say it, you can't take it back. Once you name something out loud, it makes it real. It invites accountability. It opens the door to feedback. And if you are hiding your misalignment behind competence, the truth oftentimes feels like exposure. And I'm not saying go and make a TikTok about it, friend. I'm saying having a conversation with someone who is going to hold you accountable. I've had some decisions that I've had to make this year. And when I tell you, one small thing that made a big difference was when I just told people the truth of what was going on and what I was dealing with. Hey, this is happening. Here's the details. Pray for me. Even the truth of saying, when people ask you, are you doing okay? No, I'm not. that is enough disclosure that will start to activate you moving and coming out of avoiding. But a lot of times you don't want to open up your mouth and share because you fear that people are going to judge you. You fear a loss of safety within relationships. And because you are afraid, because you don't have a full plan figured out. Legitimately, I had just been telling people, I'm just kind of going segment by segment. Like phase A is finish school. Phase B is whatever God says next. It's okay to not have the entire plan figured out. That's above our pay grade. And what we often do instead is say, I don't want to say anything until I'm sure. I don't want to cause confusion if I speak too soon. I don't want people to worry. And you use silence as a strategy, or you use privacy as a cloak, but really it is shame. And a lot of times you're not protecting the right people. And you're really not protecting people at all. You're protecting your image. If you're in a space where you are unwell and you're dealing with something crazy on your job, you think you not going to HR is protecting you and that coworker? No. You just don't want to deal with the disruption. We're actually doing the opposite, because whatever's going on, that person needs help too. That boss, that policy needs to be changed. And so we have to be okay with disclosing. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman that Jesus met in John 4, we often joke about how Jesus was like, girl, you got all them husbands. But when he calls her out, she doesn't try to deny or deflect or defend herself. She doesn't try to over-explain. She tells the truth. And then she runs and tells the truth to others. Because that disclosure, that conversation was the doorway to her purpose. She becomes the first evangelist in Samaria. And she's not hiding her truth, but she's owning it. We have to understand that truth is not a trap, but silence is. We have all been raised to some degree in that what happens in our house stays in our house mentality. Think about the amount of trauma that you have processed in your therapy sessions that was attached to that lie. And then we inflicted upon ourselves by not being honest with people who we love and we know love us. And we don't tell them the truth. So we have to understand, you're either going to make a decision, you're going to let that disruption happen, or you're going to disclose. And I want to give you some strategy for this, because I know, like, okay, Charlotte, that sounds great, but what do? I'm about to tell you. Because you're not going to move through feeling stuck or overcome resistance by you getting your mind right. Like, you simply just listening to this podcast and getting more clarity and more information is not enough. You have clarity. You have information. What we have to do is some behavioral activation. We have to start doing the things. You have to take a small step that is in alignment with where you're going, and you have to allow room and know that sometimes your emotions are not going to be caught up to what you're doing yet. We have to mature in that. There are times when I don't feel like doing something and I do it anyway, because that is behavioral activation. I don't always feel like doing my exams or my school stuff, but I have to get started anyway. And then my emotions catch up later. That is what behavioral activation is. And behavioral activation really teaches us that when you take meaningful action, motivation is going to follow the movement. We oftentimes want motivation first, but motivation follows movement, not the opposite. And the action has to be very specific. It has to be tied to what you value, and it has to be doable even if you feel uncomfortable. So let's go through our three strategies of how to overcome activation or avoidance rather, and how we activate those. So if you need to make a decision, if the way that you're going to shift out of feeling stuck is making a decision, the goal here is for you to stop rehearsing what you're going to do and actually do something. Even if you feel anxious, even if it stresses you out a little bit, you have to stop avoiding taking some kind of action. Remember that this is avoidance because there is a perceived threat, whether it's loss, conflict, unknown outcomes. So here are some things that you can do. First, clarify what values are underneath that decision. So if you're making a decision to, let's say, move your kids from public school into you homeschooling them or to a private school, what matters most there? Is it integrity? Is it peace? Is it freedom for your kids? Is it allowing them to grow up in an environment that is one that's rooted in Christ? What do you value? Do you want to be a present parent? Because there's values that you want instilled in them, and then also values that you want for yourself. And then I want you to write the statement, because I value fill in the blank, I will fill in the blank. Something that small helps you validate that decision and will help you start to make movement. Then I want you to commit to one step within the next 48 hours. So let's keep on our same, you're thinking about homeschooling your kids. Find a local homeschooling community and go sit into one of their meetings. If it's something else, you can schedule the meeting, you can draft the resignation letter. Don't send it yet, but just draft it. You can set a new boundary. You can start planning out for that transition. I want you to identify and reduce your avoidant behaviors. So list ways that you have been avoiding taking action. So whether that's procrastinating, researching to the 9,000th time and to the 9,000th degree, asking for more signs, and choose one that you're going to stop doing this week. And then if the decision is a big decision, I want you to break this out into phases. Something as simple as writing out the decision, saying it out loud, sharing it with someone who is a safe person to share it with, and then act. A phone call, a letter, an inquiry. You're not proving something to people or to God. You don't have to prove anything to God. He already gave you the clarity. What we're doing is we're honoring what he's already showed you and what he's already spoken to you with obedience, through movement, through doing something. If you need to allow a disruption, we want to make sure first that we are understanding that these emotional disruptions are emotional information that we are being given. It's not dysfunction. And then I want you to respond in a way that is regulated or going to help you regulate. The reason that a lot of times we don't lament, we don't have the meltdown, is because there's a lot of shame and emotional overwhelm that comes with it. But think about these toddlers. Like, we are oftentimes stressed out by their dysregulation because we don't know how to regulate ourselves. But think about the freedom that they have in having a meltdown and just not caring. They know that somebody is going to come to their aid. They know somebody's going to come to their aid. We need to be like children when it comes to God. Like, I'm about to have this meltdown real quick, God. Pull up on your girl. Name the emotion that is driving the disruption, right? I feel overwhelmed because blank is no longer working and I don't know how to stop performing. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling provoked. Get you a feelings wheel. go to feelingswheel.com and just look at the different emotions and put language to it. Then I want you to pair that emotion, that reflection, with some type of physical release. You can go for a walk. You can cry. You can scream into a pillow. You can stretch, like turn on Dappy Keys and do some stretching. Like I have literally at one point, probably a couple months ago, went and got a massage and just cried the entire massage. I just needed a moment. Okay? I needed a moment. And the lady was so kind. Just let me have the space. And then I want you to create a plan for your distress. So if you feel yourself feeling overwhelmed again, whether it's journaling, going for a walk, doing deep breathing exercises, you need to create a plan for when you feel like you're in distress. A healthy plan that does not avoid sitting with your emotions. Scrolling is not it. And for some of us who are very intellectually minded, who really like to think a lot, this may not even be the time for you to sit with your Bible open. You need to lay on your face before the Lord and feel your feelings. If you do open your Bible, go to Psalm 139. And read it out loud. This is something that I do to help when I feel distressed. Psalm 139, read that thing out loud. I mean, it's just so many tear stains in my Bible. There are so many tear stains in my Bible in Psalm 139 because I just read it out loud while I feel my feelings, crying. And eventually I stop reading it once I no longer feel like I'm crying while I read it. And it just gathers me back together. And then the final thing, if you feel like you are avoiding disruption, I want you to either cancel or step back from one thing that you committed to while you were dysregulated. And then I want you to look at what happens and let your brain know that it is okay to release things. Like, I need you to take a step back and say, you know what? I'm gonna stop doing that. I signed up to do that and I shouldn't have. A great example is if you had the app, probably about 2 years ago, I was doing a Purpose Partners program where I was doing a daily podcast episode. I said, oh no, you know what? I overthought that. I didn't think that through. And so I had to stop doing it. And guess what? Nobody died. Everything was okay. Remember that God does not rebuke you in your breakdown. He's going to respond with rest, with redirection and presence. Go read Elijah's story in 1 Kings 19. And then finally, if you need to talk to someone, if disclosure is your shift that you know that you need to take, I need you to understand that the goal here is for us to reduce the emotional load by naming the truth. First to yourself, just say it out loud to yourself. And you may cry afterwards, and that's okay. And then I need you to release that to somebody safe. Because we're going to overcome the fear of judgment. We're going to overcome fear of losing control over the narrative. Let them talk. Go read Psalms. And how David was like, they keep talking about me, but do what God has called you to do. Do what God has called you to do. So one of the ways that you can start is by slowly disclosing or doing what we call like graded disclosure. Start with something that's like really low stakes where it's telling the truth, whether you write it or you record it in a voice note before you share it with other people. It could be something as simple as, hey, you doing okay? No, I'm not. I'm stressed out. I need you to pray for me. That is a great way to start that conversation. Then I want you to find the right person. Okay, let's use wisdom. This don't mean tell everybody your business. Don't disclose everywhere and don't disclose to everybody. You want to choose someone who's not reactive, who doesn't need you to be fine, and who can really just sit in that space and be present and hold that tension with you. You have to be okay with it. I really want you to, even on your phone, take 10 minutes max on your voice notes and just speak the truth. Don't edit it. Don't try to don't write it down first. Just, this is what the heck is going on, and this is how I feel about it. Just for yourself, so you can practice what it feels like to disclose, even to yourself. And then make sure that you are, again, doing what you need to do to care for yourself mentally and emotionally. So after you do that 10-minute confessional, go for a walk, read scripture, go to Psalm 139, and read it as often as you need to. Understand that disclosure does not disqualify you. In James 5:16, it talks about us confessing our sins and our shortcomings to one another, because that's where healing will be found. You have to allow yourself to be delivered from the emotional isolation that is keeping you stuck. And that's what disclosure is going to allow you to do. Most people are not avoiding transformation because they're confused. A lot of us don't like the movement because it is real and it is disruptive, and it comes with grief. It comes with risk. It comes with exposure. But in avoiding that shift, it does not keep you safe. We just talked about the danger of familiarity. It's going to keep you in a cycle, and it's going to delay what God is trying to do in your life. So if you've been asking for God for peace and you haven't taken a step yet, it's possible that peace is only on the other side of your obedience and not before it. You are going to be uncomfortable until you do what he's called you to do. You're not stuck because you're weak. You're stuck because you haven't moved. And I pray that now you understand why. You're not behind. You're not being punished. Like, God, you haven't missed God. You are just holding on to clarity and not doing anything with it. And faith without work is dead. Faith, God speaking, without you then responding, is dead. And that's why you feel stuck. And so now that we have identified what it is, you have to decide what you're going to do with it. When you have clarity and you don't take action, when God releases a word to you, when God speaks and you don't respond, there is going to be heaviness that comes with it. And it wears on your body. It wears on your mind. It weighs down your prayers. It makes you question things that you already know are true. So now that we understand how to deal with avoidance, and now that it's been exposed, I want you to think about a couple of things. What truth have you been holding back because of how people might react? What decision have you rehearsed 100 times and you haven't taken action? What have you labeled as wisdom or timing that really is fear? Because I'm not telling you to go out and be reckless at all. Don't hear what I'm not saying, please. But you have to be honest. Like, girl, you don't need not another strategy. You have to move. And so you have to pick, which one of these disruptors am I going to do? Do I need to make a decision? Do I need to feel my feelings and just lament before the Lord? Do I need to disclose? And you don't have to do all three of them today, but do something, even a little something. And the minute you move, you're no longer stuck. The minute you move, now you have momentum. And so I pray that this has blessed you and you really hear what God is saying in this season. A lot of us are not doing what God has called us to do. And what I'm going to do is, next week, we're going to talk about what happens after the movement, because after movement, you find yourself in the middle and it's kind of ghetto there too. And your brain is going to want to retreat. But we're not going backwards. we are going to do and be who God has called us to be, who he saw before he formed us. And we're going to let go of all of these things that we tried to accumulate on our own. The identities, the stuff, the ministries, the relationships, all, like anything that God has not ordained, we have to be willing and ready to release it so he can really provide a space of healing and you can see progress in your life. So friend, I love you. I pray this episode blessed you. Have an amazing rest of your day and I'll talk to you later.
Time is precious and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.